Good morning. Welcome to the Order of Time. Today I would like to talk to you about history. The history of the Order of Time. How have I arrived at this knowledge? At this Order of Time. How did I ever get this idea that this would be a central interest in human affairs and in individual matters of intelligence, health, and discipline? I'm an educated psychologist, so that is not so surprising that I'm interested in time and its conditionings. More than other professions, am I interested in the order of time and the authority behind it. And this is the main reason why I came to this. In my life, I have seen the development of this order of time as something, as an alternative to the societal order of time, in a way that is very personal. I could also explain this from a cosmological point of view, explaining you how the universe arrived from a linear concept of time at a cyclic concept of time, offering a sun and a moon relative to an Earth planet. But in my personal life, a likewise evolution took place in which I came to realize the same thing. Of having a sun and a moon defining certain fields of interest in my life. So how did this begin in my own life? In my own life, I at first was identified with the system. I grew up, went to high school, went to a university, graduated as a psychologist, and was identified with the time system. I wasn't very critical about it in the beginning, but I had a little bit an alternative lifestyle. I surely was part of the 60s. I was not a drug person, but I was a liberal person, interested in psychology, helping people, developing a better spirit in life, and a more easygoing, a less square opinion about social adaptations and ways of serving mankind and society. So I became a psychologist with that intention. But during my studies, in my bookcase, there were two types of books. I had spiritual books, which I used to meditate, to find harmony within. And I had psychology books to be in touch with society and be of service in that. So at first I thought, well, this is my mission. I have to combine these two things. I meditated for myself and found the principle of nonviolence very important, because the spirit of the predator and the predator mind to roam a territory and to hunt for your living, I found very disturbing, and that's also a reason why I'm a person of the intellect rather than of business. I prefer this reflective lifestyle and type of service, because I'm not such a businessman settling for a certain material control. I believe in the supremacy of reason. So that is what I wanted to do, and I arrived at the conclusion that nonviolence was very important. So I became a vegetarian. As a vegetarian, you find in meditation it more easy to arrive at your inner self and to find peace and harmony there, because possessed by the attachment to that predator mind, it was difficult to give up the restlessness of the mind, the motivation for a certain violence, in fact, against others, to have your advantage over others. So that's how I became a vegetarian. That was in the 70s of the 20th century. I'm now about 53 years old. So during the 70s, I studied psychology. In the 80s, I had finished my studies, and I tried to find a job. And I got a job, a temporary job, in a psychiatric department of a normal hospital, where was a clinical psychologist helping people with psychiatric trouble. So I became a psychotherapist, guiding people back to society to be a well-adapted individual in control of themselves. But together with this attitude of helping, I also thought about the necessity of meditation and inner harmony and the self-realization therefrom, to have things better under control and better in one's mind. But this job I got was a temporary job. It could not be prolonged, because the economic support for people in my business was poor. The insurance companies wouldn't support it directly in that time, and I had to find a way to serve the cause. At the same time, I found it more and more disturbing to work with people who were not really motivated for my own position of meditation, of finding yourself in harmony and healthy through meditation and a more yogic lifestyle. So that was a problem, because in psychotherapy you have to be value-free, and you cannot just be a yoga teacher, because that's quite another line of helping people. So that was a problem. I couldn't really get a steady job, and so I ended with myself at home alone, and also found that at the same time my relationship ended too, because my partner wasn't that much spiritually interested as I was, so I grew away from my partner too, and that was also a problem. So I more or less fell into an abyss, into a black hole, where I was losing myself and discovering that ego of mine had disappeared. I wasn't a partner anymore. I wasn't a psychologist anymore. What was I? Who am I? And how should I live? So a kind of transformation took place that happened in the 80s, a kind of enlightenment, actually, in which I found it not easy to find a way, a path that is more independent of a fixed relationship and a fixed job. So that was a tough period in which I had a pretty heavy crisis, in which I was placed before the reality of the question: am I crazy, or am I sane? Am I maladapted to society, or do I know it better than the common attached civil person, the common civilian? So this is a famous opposition in life. There is the material world and there's the spiritual world, and I never wanted those two separated. But that's what happened. So I had this crisis, and I had to follow the way I had taken, the path I had taken, and thus I became more a volunteer. You have to associate with your fellow man, and you have to serve and for your sanity. So not to call myself crazy, I had to decide and not to enter psychiatry myself. I had to decide to do volunteer's work, which is a better way of working, I still think, than working just for the money. But I never intended to separate those two, but that's how it went. From a meditator doing psychotherapy, I became a yogi doing a volunteer's work. So gradually, this sense of yogic values, this spiritual lifestyle developed with me. And this has consequences concerning the way I thought about sexuality, about time, about food, and about making money. So these four values, basic values of natural consciousness of time, celibate lifestyle, independent of the attachments of our sexual relationships, the non-profit motive of doing service as a volunteer, and the non-violent lifestyle of a vegetarian developed in that time. But it wasn't quite immediately completely installed as it is now. But gradually this came about. So in the 80s, I gradually came to realize the integrity of this spiritual approach that I follow at this site. Concerning the order of time, the development became clearer in the 90s. In the 70s, it was a theme already to associate closer with the natural order of time. But in the 90s, this grew into a more pronounced type of order, in which I wondered. In which I wondered what the way would be to have a clearer mind about the order in the universe, because at first I started to meditate on the order of the sun, and in this I came to realize that meditating on clockwork was something special, and I thought it was necessary to arrive at a notion that would be more natural. So I got annoyed with clockwork. I found that it was not supporting me in my understanding of the universe. Meditating on the clock, I found myself more or less stupid about the nature of the sun and the universe. I had no idea. I discovered that my notion of the universe was quite vague. I had no clear idea about the order of the sun and the moon and the stars. And it was just some kind of business outside of me, which didn't make much sense, because, yeah, you have a clock, so why would you worry further? So, but meditating, I found the clock an obstacle in this intelligence. So I did some experiments. I started following the shades of the sun and then compared it to the clockwork. And I noticed that, that is not the same. I also read books, of course. And from that I discovered that that the clock is indeed in offense with the order of the sun. It is a mean time which a clock displays. And a mean time means that a day is not 24 hours. Days are sometimes a couple of seconds longer and a couple of seconds shorter, which can add up to half an hour in over a period of 4 months. When we follow the clock and the difference it makes with the sundial. So this is another, a reductionist approach of time. The order of time, as it is of nature, was denied by clockwork. That's what I discovered in my first meditations on the solar order. At first I thought, well, okay, I need to detach from this societal clock business. And I tried with another scale for the clock, which was not such an intelligent conclusion. I found later, because it gave an alternative idea of order, but it wasn't really another type of time. It was still mean time, still that annoyance of an offensive clock, which wouldn't give me access to the natural order that it was supposed to indicate. So thus I arrived at the notion of implementing the equation of time, as it is called, the graph, which describes the difference between the clock and the sundial. This is a curve, and that curve also reminded me as a psychologist of psychological themes like father time, repressed by the culture, in denial of the authority of the father, and in conflict with itself because of that father, having a cultural neurosis because of the denial of that father. So father time was for me a welcome insight to restore my own sense of authority and intelligence as to how the natural order was composed. So I arrived at this better notion of time. I learned to put my clock to the sun in a way I hadn't practiced before. So this is how it began. I found my intelligence relating to the natural order restored, if it ever had been correct. I also discovered that this way of relating to nature was, in fact, the classical way of our human culture of relating to nature. All ancient cultures are cultures that worship the sun and the moon god, and there were never any time zones or mean times or summer times at all. This is an invention of the last centuries, or since the mechanical clock, which is not further aligned with the sundial, because it was so regular for itself that didn't seem to be necessary. So I discovered we had a cultural consciousness which is in denial of that original father, which would be our sustainer and intelligence, the authority of God, of the kernel of our religious self. So that made a lot of sense to me, to meditate on the natural order of time of the sun. So I discovered this for myself as an individual intelligence for myself, alone, in a home, in a house. And well, I had experienced that crisis. I was alone. I had no relationship anymore. I couldn't find a fixed job. I had temporary jobs, but couldn't find a stability in society, even though I tried and applied and did all kinds of things to keep in touch with society. Because I realized this is an essential element of our mental health, of my own personal health. It's not just reading books for yourselves or writing books. No, you also have to take care of a social life. So I found it disturbing to stay with myself, and so I pulled the door behind and went into the world to seek association. So in that context, I arrived in India, in ashramas. I arrived in monasteries in my own country, here in Holland, and I even arrived at a spiritual community, and in that context I also visited America, where I stayed in New York and in Philadelphia for some time in 1988. And in that context I realized the importance of discipline and the human values. And I learned a lot. I learned to study the classical books. But at the same time, I also realized that these communities were also conditioned by the same time system. They developed a nice compensation in the form of a certain religion, but they were still conditioned to the same material order. They were still following the standard time clock and the standard time weeks that defined them as just another political party, so to say, of a strategy of making money. And I found it disturbing. So I had to leave that society too, because I had this longing for a greater intelligence and a better way. So though I also had to leave that association, being honest with my desire for a clear-cut alternative to the societal problem of estrangement from nature. I had realized this from the clock already. So what is important is that in my meditations on the natural order of the sun, I realized that there are two aspects. This aspect of the individual intelligence, your private life, your individual discipline, and this social aspect of being an ego, meaningful to others, not necessarily in the form of labor, but as a person, as a social person. So this individual social aspect of the solar order was the first thing I learned. And that happened in the 80s. In the 90s, I discovered that there's more than just the order of the sun. There's also the order of the moon. Because meditating, I fell back to myself on my own, and I had to become a yogi with his own ashram, and I tried to be a yoga teacher also. But I also had to admit that I wasn't really in control of the yoga philosophy at all. I had discovered this intelligence of nature, but that doesn't make you directly a good scholar. I had to learn Sanskrit better. I had to learn to know what the scriptures really had to say, what the Patanjali Sutras would mean, etc. So I, to be proficient in yoga and to be an authority to speak on yoga, because that seemed to be my life, I became a kind of yogi with his own ashram, and I had to learn to learn more, and that happened in the 90s. And in that process, I also found the conditionings of the classical week order, in which people go to their work and relax in the weekend. I found those conditionings disturbing in my spiritual life. Any attachment to that week order, any fixed habit on the Saturday, on the Sunday, on the normal days of the week would distract me completely from my spiritual integrity and the yoga that I did. So I had to I had to admit that this week order was another disturbance, not just the mean time of the clock, but also irrespective of zone times and summer times, the mean time of the clock, not only, but also this week order, this linear idea of time concerning the week. So once I spoke to a priest. I was raised a Catholic, so once I was with my mother's, and the priest came to visit her, and so I conversed with the priest, and we discussed the subject of why I didn't attend to church anymore. I didn't go to church anymore. So I told him, well, I don't go to church because it gives me a terrible headache. If I want to attend to church on Sundays, I get a terrible headache in my concrete physical pain in my face. One half of my face totally cramps and I have a terrible pain. So I had to give up any intention of attending to church and participating in the Catholic order. It was a kind of civil attachment that was a horror and a torture to me as a yogi finding harmony in nature. So I was too much of a yogi to submit to that order. So and this I arrived at the notion of following the order of the moon, which I also discovered was a classical notion of order. Our Greek-Roman culture was originally set to the lunar calendar, which was abolished, and I discussed this before, just before Christ arrived at Earth, and the Julian Reform turned everything solar. So this lunar order was I rediscovered as the essential other half of our natural consciousness. This consciousness of the moon, which is normally lived with linear weeks, contrasts the business interest of making your money and being of service in society with the religion, your association, your club life, in which you unify in the consciousness without any profit motive. So the profit motive opposed to the non-profit of a Sunday is a typical order of the moon, as it should be. And the order of the moon is different from the week order, although, as I discussed with this priest, it should be the moon. When I told this priest I have a headache, because that's why I can't go to church, I asked him the question, what does this Sunday of yours actually refer to? What's the sense of it? Why 7 days, and why should we go to church, especially on Sundays? And he said, well, this Sunday refers to the moon. And that's all he had to say to me. That was enough for me to conclude to the moon. If that priest, that man of God, says it is the moon you should follow, so I followed the moon. And I never discussed with him the difference between week, the order of the week that is not leaped, and lunar phases that do follow the natural order. I never discussed that with him, but for myself, I had arrived at this conclusion. I had discovered already the order of the natural order of the sun relative to the standard time, and I had found this difference between our individual life as an adapted person in the culture, doing a job and being religious, as contrasted to a natural type of association of delivering service to the cause. And meditating and associating in a more religious, devotional sense of yoga, which I do now and which I call philognosy. There are on the site songs, philognostic songs. I do it at the moment in Dutch, but maybe later on we will also put those songs in English. They are derived from Indian bhajans, the songs one should sing together, like religious songs. So I discovered that this, the order of time, the order of the sun, contrasting this interest of the private intelligence relative to the social intelligence and ego, that was the sun. And afterwards came also the order of the moon. In the 90s, I gradually came to realize the importance of that, of contrasting working for a certain result as opposed to non-fruitive activities in a religious context. So this is the order of time as I discovered. The natural order of time, the natural consciousness, as it was originally meant for us humans, if we study our books and if we're honest with ourselves. This was my personal conclusion, and I hope it makes sense to you too. Thank you for your attention.